109 billion, that's with a B, dollars. Oh my, what could we do with 109 billion dollars? That's the estimated net worth of the richest man on earth today. The CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, 109 billion. That's 1,000 million for each one of them. Dollars. Wow. What could we do if we had enough years and enough time that we could live to be 114 years old? Miss Delphine Gibson of South Carolina might be able to answer that, because that's what she is, as the oldest American today. Or what if we had the ears, the eyes and ears of the largest crowd ever to view an event, when 105.9 million people watched the finale, the last show of MASH? What kind of impact could we have? What could we accomplish? Or even if we were just able to reach out in short little statements. You know, there's a popular celebrity named Selena Gomez that has 133 million Instagram followers. I've got 512. Selena Gomez has 133 million. One statement, one sentence from her can reach more people than a lifetime of preaching could for someone like me. Wow. Sometimes people have blessings. They have blessings that they don't even realize they don't have. And sometimes those blessings get used for righteous purpose, while at other times they're squandered, they're missed, they're wasted. We're going to look tonight at the eighth commandment out of the Ten Commandments. The eighth commandment, and we're not doing them in order apparently on Sunday night, occurs in the Bible in basic English. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Do not take the property of another." And that's the longest statement of the eighth commandment. Virtually everywhere that we see it, here and in another place we'll see in just a moment, it simply says, "You shall not steal," or "Thou shalt not steal." It's a simple little sentence, four words. Okay, end of sermon, don't steal, invitation. No, if we dig deeper, we can find a bit more than just that. We can see in the Greek version of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, that it uses the word klepsis. Klepsis is the word we get our word kleptomaniac from, meaning steal. You shall not steal. You shall not klepsis. If we see it in popular NIV in Deuteronomy 5:19, it simply says you shall not steal. It says that elsewhere as well. When you look at the other place that the Ten Commandments occur, over in Exodus 20:15, you shall not steal. It'll be similar in the King James Version. You shall not steal. Thou shalt not steal. The bottom line on it is, if you flipped over to Deuteronomy chapter 10, everything in all of the universe, in all of creation, was made by God. Everything in the whole entire earth, all of creation, is owned by God. It is His possession. But yet He graciously allows us to use it for our purposes. He's made creation for mankind to be able to enjoy, and it's on loan to us for our use. In Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 14, it says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Sounds a lot like Micah 6:8, doesn't it? "And to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. What I have that I think is mine, it's on loan from God. What I have that I use, material blessings, physical blessings, any kind of blessing that I have is truly a blessing from God that He allows me to use in whatever way I choose to use. That's the wonderful thing about freedom of choice that God gives to us. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. All that we have originated with God. All that we have will go back to God, and God permits us to use these possessions. Now let's look at what the Jews might have understood about that. We see the English words, "Thou shalt not steal." When the Jews heard this being pronounced the first time the Ten Commandments were read out to them, they didn't have English. They had Hebrew, the Old Testament originally being written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. And the word for steal is galnab. We're going to learn a new word tonight. Say it with me, galnab. Okay, galnab. Accents on the last word. That's the word that we translate as steal, galnab. Almost sounds like something for those that are of a generation to watch Star Trek and everything, like maybe a Klingon would say, galnab. Steal. That's what they heard. What did they understand when they heard galnab? Definition of galnab, one way of defining it, is, first of all, don't turn the screen off, John, is to acquire someone's possessions with less than righteous intent. To acquire from someone else with less than righteous intent what their possessions are and to claim them as your own. Now, it can have other definitions as well. It can be defined as to kidnap, as to steal, as to misappropriate, as to squander. Various other ways galnab can be defined, but the big overarching definition is what you have that God's given to you on loan, I can acquire for myself in one fashion or another. And sometimes it's with less than honorable intentions. Now, we all need to have resources, right? How long would you survive if you were flat broke and had no more income? Not very long or not very well, I suspect. We all have resources of finances. We have resources of time, and we'll come to a few others in a little bit later in tonight's lesson. But there are four basic ways of being able to acquire resources. The first one is if we get a gift. If somebody gives us a gift, then that is a possession that has been given to us out of somebody else's possessions. God's loaned it to them, they loan it to us. And we enjoy that in 2 Corinthians 9, 8 through 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance of every good deed, as it is written, He scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, and His righteousness endures forever. His righteousness and our righteous intent of being able to use our blessings in a righteous manner endure forever. We acquire possessions like that through a gift. When I was a little boy, my granddad, every preacher has to have at least one personal story, you know. This one will be brief, I promise. My granddad always, when my younger brother that was 2 years younger than me had a birthday, would give me a gift and him a gift. They were always identical. Usually they were galoshes for the wintertime. When I'd have a birthday, he'd give David a gift and me a gift, the same gift. The reason he did this is because once upon a time when we got separate gifts, my brother got a sweatshirt, and it was a wonderful sweatshirt. It was in the days before hoodies. And I remember as a little boy being so jealous, wanting that sweatshirt. Of course, it was David's. And I was made to understand it was David's. So I waited till the deep of night, probably 10 o'clock, and I snuck into the bathroom where we had a closet. And I got out a sweatshirt that belonged to my dad and a pair of scissors. And my dad's a big man. He's a big, muscular guy. And I adjusted his sweatshirt with those scissors so it would fit my skinny little frame. Well, that's the kind of thing you do it once. You can't go back and undo it. You know, once you've done it, the deed is done. You're in trouble. And I got found out. And boy, was I in trouble. I am here today because of the grace of my grandfather. He solved the dilemma. Because he went out and he got a gift for David and a gift for me, identical. And from that point on, every time either one of us had a birthday, we both got birthday gifts. Gifts. They solve a multitude of problems and concerns, and they're always appreciated. Sometimes even when we steal a sweatshirt from our father, and it's the opposite of receiving a gift, we just take it. That can even be dealt with by the graciousness of someone in authority over us. God gives us a great gift. He gives us the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness, so that whatever we have done in our journey of life, wherever we have been, whatever we have said, whatever we have done, God can use his grace and he can deal with forgiveness for us through the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we no longer have to endure the punishment that comes with our transgression. That's the first way that we can acquire a possession, is from a gift. It's with righteous intent that God gives us the gift. Look at the last line, last two lines, says righteousness endures forever in the New American Standard Version of the Bible. The second way to acquire possessions is to work for them and earn them. Most people understand this. Perhaps some do not. In Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer. Or if we were using the Hebrew in the Ten Commandments, let him who gonob no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. And see the punchline on this, that he may have something to give him who has need. With righteous intent, let labor be done. You see, the opposite of stealing, which we're told to do no longer, is to work with our hands and labor and earn and deserve that which we receive as our income or a possession. Third way of acquiring any kind of possession is to inherit them. Luke 15:13 is the very end of a story. That's what was read to us at the beginning of our service tonight. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and took a trip to a distant land, and there he wasted his money on wild living. That's in the New Living Translation. The broader context of that story, let's just briefly review it for those that haven't looked at it for a while. There's a man that has some wealth. He has two sons, an older son, a younger son. Normally, the older son would inherit a double portion. The younger son would inherit a third of the estate. The younger son goes to the dad and he says, Father, give me the portion of my inheritance. I don't want to wait until you're gone. I want it now. And so the father, being indulgent of this young son, divided his estate, and he gave that portion of the wealth to his younger son. Now, I want you to notice what the younger son did. He didn't invest it, didn't hold on to it, didn't try to make it grow. He didn't use it as a savings account or anything of that nature. What he did, it tells us, is after a few days, not after a few weeks, a few months, after a couple of years, but just after only a few days after receiving that money, that wealth into his hand, he gathered up everything that he had, one can surmise that meant the wealth, and he departed. He ran away to a faraway country where nobody would know him. He'd be totally on his own. He'd be independent. And what does it say he did? He wasted, he squandered, he blew all of his wealth. And then we know the story goes on. He looked out and he said, I've got to take a job. He got a job. He's feeding unclean pigs. He wants to fill his belly with the pods that the pigs are feeding on. And he comes to his senses and he says, you know, even the people who serve my father, who work for my father, They have enough to eat. They don't have to worry about eating the pig's food. I'll pull myself together and I'll go back to my father. And he goes back, and you know how the story goes. The grace of the father forgave him. They killed the fatted calf. They had a party. Truly ticked off the older brother. But then we're led to believe even that came together in the end, because it illustrates the love and the forgiveness and the grace of God. But I want you to see what this younger son did. He gathered everything together and he squandered it. He had riches. He had wealth. He had the 114 years of life. He had the $109 billion. He had the millions of viewers. He had all of the people that was interested in him, following him on Instagram. He had the best of it all. But he squandered it. And he blew it away and he wasted it. That's another form of gonob. You see, the third way to get possessions by inheriting them is an unknown intent. It could be with righteous intent, but it could also be with unrighteous intent. The fourth of four ways to be able to get any kind of possession is to steal them. Whenever we're stealing them, we're violating gonob. We're doing what the eighth commandment tells us not to do. Briefly, in 1 Kings 21:15-16 will be the end of the story I'm going to tell you about a guy named Naboth. Naboth was a man that had a vineyard. Doesn't tell us whether he was wealthy or not, but he lived in an area around Jezreel in Old Testament times. The king of the land was Ahab. Ahab had a lovely, darling wife named Jezebel. You probably have heard of her. The two of them go down to Jezreel, and Ahab looks out and he says, I've got this wonderful summer palace. Look at what I've got, and I've got this beautiful garden. And what's that over there? That's a vineyard, and it's a beautiful vineyard, and it's not mine, and I want it. So he goes to the owner of the vineyard, Naboth, and he says, sell me your vineyard. And Naboth says, no. And he says, no, you don't understand. Seriously, I am the king. Sell me your vineyard. I'll give you a fair price. Naboth says, no. This is an inheritance from my family, been in my family for generations. You're not getting it. I'm not selling it. It's not for sale. So Ahab goes back to the palace, and he's sulking around and pouting. And Jezebel says, why are you not acting like a king? And Ahab tells her the story, and she says, go sit down, take a nap, and I'll get the vineyard for you. So she goes out and she hires a couple of scoundrels, says, we're going to throw a feast. I'm going to put Naboth between the two of you. You two make an accusation against him, and we'll take care of Naboth. So they did that. They made an accusation. The short of it is Naboth gets hauled outside the city. He's stoned. He's killed. Now he can't say no. So we're told that Ahab goes down and takes possession of the land. In 1 Kings 21:15-16, as soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, get up and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite that he refused to sell to you. He is no longer alive, but dead. When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, he got up and went down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Would you say that Ahab stole it? Yeah, probably. He stole it from Naboth. Not only stole it, but he committed murder. That's another one of the commandments we're not addressing tonight. He stole the vineyard and made it his own. This time, it was with unrighteous intent. See, there's several ways of making gonob happen. You can make it happen by squandering an inheritance. You can make it happen by stealing something, even like a vineyard. It doesn't just have to be pickpocketing money or taking something, a purse or a computer, out of somebody's car. It's not just what we typically think of when we hear the words, you shall not steal. Stealing can take many forms. If God owns everything and all is a possession of God and he's only loaned it to us, whenever we take it for unrighteous purpose, or we take it for any purpose that doesn't honor God and his holiness and righteousness, what we're doing is gonob. We're stealing it. We're using it for a purpose other than God's intention for it. We must take the blessings that God gives to us and enable them fully, or they'll be wasted. They'll be squandered. Our possessions are blessings from God, and they are fully enabled when we hold them, when we use them with righteous intent. Oh, now it's where the preacher stops preaching and starts meddling, I know. Our blessings from God are squandered or wasted when we hold on to them or we use them with selfish intent or with wicked intent. Or I'd like to have $109 billion because then I could just have the time of my life. Well, you could. You could. I'd like to live to be 140 years old and be healthy the whole time because then I could do anything I wanted to. You know, I'm discovering that once you go past 60, people are less likely to say no to you. Unless it's Social Security and they say no all the time. I could get away with anything if I had that long and healthy of a life. If I had 1 million people, 10 million people that knew me and interacted with me, even if it was only on social media. Oh, imagine the fun I could have with that. That's not necessarily a righteous use of what God's given me as blessings. Some of the blessings that we have, we all have financial resources, some less, some more. We're all different in how we've been blessed in that arena. But I have to ask myself sometimes, what I'm using my finances on, is it really righteous? Is it really holy? Now, honestly, I don't go out to the massage parlors, and I don't go out and get drunk and buy drugs, and, you know, I'm not in the mafia, I'm not in the cartel, any of that. But I do have finances that sometimes I spend in ways that are more self-gratifying than edifying for the purposes of God. I'm not saying it's always wrong to do that, but if I do it to the point that I'm spending too much of what God's blessed me with, that He's given me as a possession to use, I have to ask myself if I'm really fulfilling the intent of the Eighth Commandment. We all have a certain amount of time. So far, God's blessed me with 62 years. I hope to continue to use them to His glory and to His honor. If I didn't, if I walked away from God, if I suddenly became a blasphemer, if I used my time, if I squandered it, if I wasted it in some other fashion, am I committing what the Eighth Commandment commands that we not commit? Reputation is another. All of us have a certain reputation. All of us as Christians wear a certain name. When we go into the community and we are known and recognized as a Christian, but yet our behavior does not glorify God and it does not lift up Christ. You know, when we do something that is going to be mean, hateful, one-sided, is going to detract from the holiness of God, when people look at us and say, huh, that's a follower of Christ, huh? I don't want anything to do with that. Am I truly honoring God, or am I committing galnab? I'm stealing the reputation that God has granted me to wear the name of His Son as a Christian. We all have a certain amount of intellect. We're able to understand. We're able to do with. We're able to explain things. We're able to teach things. We're able to study things. We're able to share things. We're able to lift each other up. But if we waste that and we don't apply it to God's purposes, are we instead allowing it by neglect to be applied for unrighteous intent as opposed to the most righteous? And we all have relationships. All of us have friends. All of us have family. Well, I know one person that doesn't have any friends, but you know, all of us have friends and family. Do we use those relationships to build each other up, to share our relationships so that we're edified and we're able to honor God through the righteous intent of our relationships. All of us here tonight are part of the Sunset Church of Christ. We have a relationship. Do we come together and pull that relationship together so that we can share with each other and edify each other? Ephesians says something about edifying each other, doesn't it? And build each other up? Or are we content to come together, go through a routine, and go our separate ways? Failure to use our blessings, the possessions that God allows us to have that are on loan from God with righteous intent, is, in a word, galnab. Sometimes we all do things we regret. Sometimes it's more serious than cutting up a sweatshirt. Sometimes we commit galnab even when we don't intend to. The point is, we need to be consciously aware of the choices we make and what we're doing as we move forward so we avoid engaging in the eighth commandment and stealing from God the blessing that He has given to us and squandering it, wasting it, allowing it to be used with unrighteous intent. I can do better. I can tell you as I stand here tonight that there are times when I have not done as well as I could have in using the blessings that God has lavished or showered upon me. I know I can do better. Sometimes it just takes intention to be able to do so. Can you honestly, to yourself, can you look at yourself and say, I do the best that I possibly have the potential of being able to do, and I would never, ever misuse or squander or waste any of the types of blessings that God might give to me? You're a better person than I am. We're going to have an invitation. And I tell you, one of the things I learned at Preston Road School of Preaching and Abilene Christian, and it held true through 20 years of ministry, is that the invitation isn't just about confession. It's not about coming forward and saying, I've done something wrong and I need to have the prayers of the church. Sometimes the invitation is about being able to make a public proclamation or statement that, yes, what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches is what I need. It's what I want. And I'm going to be down here with one of the elders if anybody decides to join us. I'm down here as the first one to respond to the invitation, because I know in terms of galnab, I can do better. I haven't done in every instance everything that I can do, and I should be doing better. So I'm going to ask something a little different tonight. Not everybody's comfortable. You know, you can tell when you're preaching, because they're the ones with the white knuckles scrapping the back of the pew in front of them, you know, with coming down front. So I'm just going to ask you, as we're singing the invitation song, nothing threatening, if you know you can do better about galnab and using the blessings God has given you in a better, more righteous way than you've ever done in the past, just very briefly or however long you want to, just raise your hand while we're singing the song. Stay where you are if you're comfortable with that. But encourage the other people around you by being the one to say publicly, I can do better. I can be what God wants me to be. I'm down here. If I hold my Bible up, I'm holding my hand up, I guess. So I would invite you, if you need the prayers of the congregation tonight, if there's anything we can do to encourage you, if you need to be baptized by the immersion for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38, if we can encourage you and pray with you in any way, please come down front and let us know, and let's be a family with strong relationship in God together at that moment. Or if you just want to stay where you are and tell the people around you that I'm going to try to do better, just hold your hand up briefly. You'll be amazed how much that encourages other people. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share God's word with you. Won't you respond when we stand?